Working remotely can be a challenge, especially for teams that are new to it. How do you deal with your work environment being the same as home while staying productive? At a time when teams must come together more than ever to solve big challenges, Trello's here to help. Trello, part of Atlassian's collaborative suite, has been powering remote teams globally for almost a decade. Trello keeps everyone on the same page, helping teams communicate, focus, and connect. Try Trello for free and learn more at Trello.com. That's Trello.com.
Time to welcome in Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald. And Sam, we were just discussing, and it's funny, last week when we talked, said, oh boy, we should have been getting ready for the NCAA tournament. Today, Major League Baseball opening day. And it got me thinking of some of the great sports days and what people's favorites are. I'm curious, what is like your top two days in sports? If you didn't have to write about it or work, if you could just enjoy as a fan, what are like the top two or three sports days for you?
As a kid, it was New Year's Day football.
Yes.
There
were
about seven games on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now today, these days are five. And it's still way up there for me. I would love it if I would prefer it was a playoff day. So I would prefer it were, you know, the Capital One Bowl and the Outback Bowl and then whatever the third one is. I can't remember off the top of my head at this moment. And then the, Cotton Bowl or whatever. And then you have the two, like the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. But New Year's Day, I mean, that's way up there. And then I would probably say the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament are fun from a TV watching perspective because you're probably going to see an upset or two. You're probably going to see at least two buzzer beaters. It's the day that you seem to care about your bracket the most,
mm-hmm.
even though it has the least amount of impact on whether you're going to win.
I know.
So probably those 2 days. I'm a big golf fan, but it's just sort of been a thing with my family where the Sunday of the U.S. Open is more important because it's Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the Masters more as a tournament. But the U.S. Open Sunday is always, we always kind of get together. I have brothers and my dad, we kind of get together and watch that. And so some years that's a compelling tournament, some years it's a train wreck, but that's always sort of a fun day as well. But I love the Masters. I mean, the Masters is awesome.
Are you cool with, we were discussing this too, that if the Masters happens, likely it happens in the fall or in October, and you know, I know you might not get the same kind of following on that Sunday unless, say, Tiger Woods is involved with that leaderboard. But as far as the Thursday and Friday, I still think you get a lot of interest in it, even though you do have football going on and most likely Major League Baseball postseason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually think, the Masters will be wildly popular in the fall just because people will be, you know, itching to see it. The course will be probably in its very best shape.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in its best shape in April. I think it's in its very best shape probably in October or whenever they close it. Maybe late, I don't know when it is, late September, early October. So it'll probably be in its best shape then. So it'll probably look really pretty. And I can't wait for that. I would be really surprised if we had any majors this year. Maybe with the exception of the British and the Masters. PGA is real soon, like mm-hmm. it's in May or something. They could play that without fans, I guess.
Yeah.
U.S. Open, I don't think you can do it because the U.S. Open is set up a certain way and it's qualifying and all this other stuff and there's amateurs that get in and I don't think they can stage that because it requires too many parts of the country and I think you're just not going to see a U.S. Open this year, or it'll be an invite only, which wouldn't be fair because that's not what the point of it is.
Right.
So I think it's probably just going to be the British Open, maybe. I can't remember where that's being played. I think it's being played in Ireland, and then the Masters. So just it'll be a truncated calendar this year for golf, I think.
Sam McEwen joining us from the Omaha World Herald. Sam, I had a chance to hear from Scott Frost this week. And, you know, I got into this conversation after listening to some of the audio clips on Sports Nightly when talking about some of the other folks involved with strength and conditioning. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, we talk so much about how the coaches are having to be a little bit more creative when it comes to recruiting when you can't have visitors. But as far as the real challenge that Zach Duvall, strength and conditioning entire staff has to try to personalize workouts for the limited access that all these student athletes have, like to me, and it's not just a Nebraska thing, I get that, but for just college football players alone, that's going to be very interesting to see how they're able to kind of pull that off.
It will. It's going to be challenging for all the strength coaches because these are perhaps the hardest working people that you don't really pay attention to. Strength coaches don't really have to recruit. I mean, they do on-campus recruiting when people come in, but you know, so they don't have to do all the travel and stuff, but they work so hard. I mean, this is their livelihood is really built. I mean, they hang their hat on January through, you know, August. I mean, that's when they take over and they kind of build your team and build the culture and all that. So this has got to be killing a guy like Zach Duvall, who, you know, loves this time of year, and this is his time. This is when he gets to be a scientist and a motivator and all these other things, and isn't able to do that. So it's going to be hard on him. Let me say this, that these athletes at this point are coming off of winter conditioning. So they were in really, really good shape going into spring. Almost every college football player in America was in really good shape. I mean, it's not like they all ate, you know, chips and steak and, you know, candy all winter. They don't do that anymore. Maybe 25 years ago or 30 years ago they did. They don't do that. So these guys all came off of winter conditioning. They're probably really good shape. A lot of them did not get through spring camp. I think Purdue probably got the furthest of the Big Ten. Central Michigan actually finished their spring camp or got darn near finishing it. But most teams didn't get that far into it. So their bodies probably didn't get that broken down by camp.
Mm-hmm.
There were no injuries. I mean, nobody got hurt because Nebraska barely had any camp. I think if there was a time, they're going to be stressed out anyway, but they sent the kids home in good shape. Like the kids went home healthy, and probably at a pretty darn good weight. Like they put on good weight. Now are they going to maybe have a little bit of bad weight or be a little bit out of shape when they come back? Yeah. But this isn't 40 years ago. These kids kind of know what to do, and I suspect it's going to be better than we anticipate. I know a lot of people have freaked out about that, but just remember the kind of shape they were in as they started spring camp. Probably the best shape they've been in all year. Their body recuperated from the season. They hadn't been beaten up by spring. I mean, is Adrian Martinez going to come back if they have camp in June and be healthier than he is now? Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. So I don't think it's the end of the world there. I think now if this thing gets into July and you don't have a training camp, then it gets a little hard because then you're not getting in football game shape. They need practices to build up to that sort of competitor level of toughness and physicality and stamina and all that. But if they can get people back in June and they can get an OTA or whatever the hell they want to call it, and then they can get a training camp that's somewhat similar to what they've had in the past, I think they can be okay. Most college football programs will be all right. I think the question now is, how much does the virus spread? How much of an impact is? And here's one thing to watch. I think this is really important to pay attention to. There are going to be programs in the Big Ten where the virus has been contained by the time that we begin discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen. Now, it's possible that what's happening in Rutgers or in New Jersey right now washes out of New York State, New Jersey now, and what is there now hit Ohio in a month. I don't anticipate that being the case because I think social distancing has probably widened the gap a little bit, and the density of population in New York, New Jersey has made that a worse place. But that'll be worth watching because there's going to be – the Big Ten is so big – that there's going to be states that are disproportionately affected by this virus and states that weren't as affected nearly as much, especially Nebraska.
Yeah.
And the question is going to become, does the Big Ten have a uniform approach to how they deal with this issue? Or are they going to say, look, Rutgers, we'll make you financially whole, but we're not canceling the football season because you know, things in New York are still dicey. Mm-hmm. If you guys can do it, that's great. If you can't, that's okay. We'll make you financially whole. Do what you have to do. We're sorry. We're not going to cancel the entire college football season because Rutgers might not be able to play a game in September. So the bigger question is gonna come back to, I think, over time, the biggest question is going to be, can college football and the conferences deal with it being imperfect and deal with the possibility that some schools can't play, but you're not going to cancel the whole season for, you know, 17 schools. It's different when you're talking about lives and corona and the live people, coronavirus. And I'm willing to stay in this house for as long as I have to save one person's life. College football teams are a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that you cancel the entire college football season because 17 programs can't get together and practice and play games. I don't think that would be wise. And the same goes for the NBA and the same goes for Major League Baseball. If there's 27 Major League Baseball teams that can do this and there's three that are really struggling, I don't think you cancel the season for the three. You make them financially whole. You say we're sorry. You do what you can, but you play the season because I think America needs that. And that'll be, I think, one of the bigger questions going forward is how do you protect these entities? Now, with a Major League Baseball team, maybe you can play them in another city. With a college team, you can't. And so that'll be the thing that I'm watching as the months go on.
And Sam, as we wrap up, too, when you kind of look at – And I think you bring up a great point as far as college football. And it was funny when you were talking about the U.S. Open, I started thinking to myself, you know, I think it's in Wingfoot. So the fact that it's in Wingfoot, that's probably even more unlikely that they'll be able to have it there. Thinking of the overall impact, though, of college football with the uncertainty that we know, I know a lot of us are kind of assuming, well, yeah, you probably won't get those spring practices in, but they'll get a chance to get to camp. Fall camp will begin at the end of July into August. Hell, Sam, we don't know that. And I know as we get a little further along, we're going to start having those conversations with people of different conferences of, so what are you guys hearing? And I just don't think any of us are really entertaining that idea right now.
No, I think it's possible that the season gets postponed or pushed back. I would be surprised if it were canceled. I think you have to figure out a way related to how the disease is spreading or isn't spreading, if it can be contained, so on and so forth. It's just so... We don't have the answers right now.
Yeah.
The globe, the world, is working faster on this disease than they've ever worked on any disease ever before. The last pandemic we had was in 1918. And God bless the scientists in 1918, but they don't have the power that we do now. And there's 7 billion people focused on this. And so it's possible that things move more quickly than we realize. I understand that there are timelines that are quoted and frameworks that are quoted. But those timelines and frameworks are based on data that is essentially hypothetical. None of this is hypothetical. So people are going to move really, really fast and really, really well. And I think that's my hope,
yeah.
You know, that we're going to move faster than we think we are as it relates to addressing treatment and vaccination. I don't know if it's going to happen in 3 months. It might be 9. It might be 12. But I think people are going to move pretty fast there. As it relates to college football, I think it's going to come down to, you know, whether or not you can navigate the possibility that some schools can't do it. Or do you shorten the schedule? Do you cancel non-conference games? Do you then move all of your conference games into, you know, the spots that the non-conference games lost, shove it out of September, start it in October? No bye week for anybody. You play your 9 games. The SEC adds a 9. Maybe you take it down to 8, whatever. But they've got to figure that piece out. Because the thing that we all keep discussing is, well, August 30th or whenever the season starts, September 6th. Doesn't have to be that. You can cut this thing down to 8 games. You can start at October 1. And all the Power 5 teams play 8 games. They all play their conference games. Everybody gets to make a bowl or whatever you want to do. 5-2 gets in the playoff, or however you want to play that thing. But having the season, to me, is crucial. I mean, just having the games on TV and people being able to advertise products in those spots for the TV network,
yep,
for the colleges, is crucial. So whatever solution they got to come up with, they have to. And if it's imperfect, you know, from my perspective as, you know, the pundit, then it's imperfect. This is the one year where I think saving the season is paramount to, well, so-and-so and such-and-such school got an unfair advantage for 10 days. This is the year where you just don't worry about that.
All right.
You know, like you got to put that aside. And for what it's worth, I think Nebraska could be one of those schools, because it's isolated, that has an advantage. And then you're going to have some schools like USC or UCLA that are like, this is fair. You just got to go with it this mm-hmm. year. And work through it. And hopefully the powers that be can figure that out. Because what the NCAA did, they had to do. They canceled everything. They just wiped it all out. They did that, I think, for public health reasons and to send a message. But if the NCAA tournament had been 4 months away, I don't think they would have done that. I think they would have tried to figure something else out. And indeed, they tried with that 16-team thing. They tried to come up with an idea that would work. College football has to be equally resourceful. If the season gets cut down to 10 or 8 games, so be it. You just got to have a season.
Sam McCune of the Omaha World Herald. Sam, great stuff as always, my man. Have a great rest of your week. Stay healthy and well, buddy.
Take care. You too.
That is Sam McCune. Just really good stuff there. And that's the thing is, I hope we don't get into this, and I can already see TJ like sweating, because we've talked about this many times. Please do not interrupt college football. But as we get a little further along and we're still kind of in these, at least more widespread uncertainty, you're definitely going to have these possibilities when it comes to the fall sports. All right, we got more coming up.